Welcome back. You are now listening to part two of Living with a Chronic Illness at 16. And just a quick trigger warning, this part does talk about mental health and suicide attempts. If this is something you find triggering, then please do not listen to this episode. We don't talk about anything graphically, but the term suicide is referenced throughout. And if you are someone who is struggling with their mental health, please reach out to someone. I will leave some helplines and useful websites in the description of this episode. And my DMs, my inbox, my emails are always open. So please feel free to reach out to me. I am not a professional in any way. I can't give you professional advice, but I can always lend a listening ear and support you in any way that I possibly can. So please don't struggle alone. We are now going to talk a little bit about mental health. So we've kind of touched on it with your condition and how you felt about that mentally. But Daisy is very open about her struggles with mental health as well, which haven't always related to her condition. So yeah, we're going to now have a little chat about that. So do you want to talk about when you first started feeling the way that you have, and was there a certain trigger in your life? Is it to do with your condition as well that has kind of made you feel a certain way?
So I wouldn't actually say that my condition has affected my mental health as much as other things have, which I am quite lucky in that sense. But the things that happened, which is like linked to me struggling, first started when I was in like year six-ish. I do struggle because of past trauma and a lot of things that have happened in my life, which I won't go into detail with, but like quite a few different people, I'd say, have basically just added to the trauma and it's just made it so much worse. I mean, I started like really, really struggling, I'd say, when a lot of things were happening that I'd struggle with when I was living between year six and year eight, I'd say, which is I think why I do struggle as much as I do now. I started like struggling through lockdown with thoughts and urges and stuff, like I had quite a lot of suicidal thoughts when lockdown first started. I don't think that was because of lockdown, because I actually really like lockdown, but I think it was because I was alone with my thoughts more. I actually struggle with hallucinations as well, and they started quite a while ago. Like when I was going for walks and stuff, I'd just hear like people walking behind me, and I'd look around and there would be no one, and I'd hear people calling my name and like screaming, and it was quite scary for it to just happen. I mean, it hasn't got easier at all. It's got a lot worse now. I did start struggling a lot more in 2021. And I actually did try and attempt to take my own life. Yeah, I mean, I was struggling from trauma, and I had quite a lot of flashbacks, which it would like trigger me a lot. And nightmares, and I'd hallucinate like their voices and stuff, and certain smells and like songs would like and still do trigger me. There's like perfumes that I'd love, but I can't smell or wear because of the trauma around it, and like songs I can't really listen to because of the trauma, and it just brings back the memories from around that time. Like through lockdown, when I was like in year, don't know what year I was in, but like through lockdown, when I was going back to school, I would struggle a lot in school, and it'd be quite like depressing. I mean, I can laugh about it now because like I do cope with dark humour for everything, like for my
health conditions as well. She's a dark humour queen. I can definitely say she's a dark humour queen. Always catches me off guard.
I mean, my mental health hasn't got any better. In fact, it has actually got a lot worse since, I'd say, November 2021. Because I did actually attempt to take my life again. but I haven't found mental health services as good as they could be. Well, before December last year, I'd say around September when I actually started college, it got a lot worse as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the summer, it was all right during the summer because I was loving life then. But September, college really got me down a lot. I'd really struggle with it. I think it's because I really struggle in the environment anyway. I'm not really a people person, and there's a lot of people. So I did drop out of college. I was only there for like 20 days, not even yeah. that. Since then, it's got a lot worse. I'd hallucinate a lot more. I'd say quite frequent episodes. So my mood's quite intense and like unstable. Mm. So like, I could go from one emotion to the other in a matter of seconds or minutes, and it would be extreme. So I could have a really, really low episode that could last for like hours, and then and I'd have a lot of thoughts and urges during like that happening, but within like a minute it could change and I could be extremely, extremely happy.
Yeah,
I think you can use the word euphoric. Would literally love life, and
yeah,
I wouldn't ever see that. I'd think to myself like, I'm better now, 100% better. Mm. And then it would all crash again. And it would just be really unstable. And like, I'd obsess over people a lot as well. And like, things like that. And I do believe it's because I didn't struggle half as much before trauma started. But in December, it did actually lead me to trying to take my own life again. And since then, I have actually, I'd say I've gotten a lot more help than what I did the other times.
Mm.
But not as much as I think I should be having. I mean, my CAMS worker at the moment is lovely. She's so understanding and I think is trying her best to help me. But I feel like there is like times where I just don't understand at all. Like, I don't really have a very good understanding of myself due to everything. Yeah. I'd love to obviously not struggle with my mental health half as much as what I do, but unfortunately I'm one of the unlucky ones in that sense. But like, a goal for that would definitely be recovery, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Just to actually be able to like enjoy everything. I keep using dark humour a lot.
As I said, she is a dark humour queen, but that is, I think, what gets you through a lot of this as well.
Definitely.
Like, it helps you. But yeah, it's obviously devastating to hear someone so young obviously attempt things. And yeah, you know how I feel about that. You know how I feel about that, which is a completely different podcast episode. Like, we could talk about 10 hours on how I feel about that with Daisy, because obviously it is devastating. And I've always said, I feel like, not that I feel responsible of you, but as an older person, like, I just want to wrap you in cotton wool and like protect you. And obviously it's devastating for me to hear how bad you feel, and there's just nothing anyone can do to help, which is so sad. But I do feel like you seem in a bit of a better place, like compared to how you were a few months ago, which was really, really hard for me to hear. And I don't mean that in a selfish way at all, because when people do have mental health issues, it's not your fault how you feel. And, you know, I think it's really difficult when people are like, well, if you did that to yourself, like, I can't live my life. And it puts a lot of pressure on that person that's going through those thoughts, because you can't help how you feel. And obviously you don't want to cause pain and sadness to the people around you, but I completely get with mental health that you don't know that is causing that much pain, because you think you are so worthless and you're so useless in this world. So why would anyone, you know, care that much? But obviously everyone cares so much. And as I've always said to you, there is a very good reason why all those attempts have failed, because you're meant to be here. So please remain. Please remain here. And that's the thing, that like, I don't want to cause offence to any people that listen to this, because obviously suicide and mental health is such a complex subject, and me and Daisy can obviously talk about it a bit more lightheartedly because we know each other. But even with Daisy giggling a little bit, you know, it doesn't take away from what she's been through. It's how she copes with it.
Because especially for me, I know that it's not an easy fix. And mm-hmm. I've had conversations with my therapist recently that she doesn't exactly know which therapy would help. And it is horrible to hear, because I hate feeling how I do. And I genuinely do absolutely anything to not even just the emotions, like with all the other things I experience and attachments and my trauma. I would not wish that upon absolutely anybody. I mean, it's so, so horrible to have to live with every single day. I mean, it does genuinely affect a lot of things, like relationships and friendships with like anyone. They're always quite intense and unstable. And I know a lot of people can relate in some way, but I feel like for me, nothing's really ever really been like as stable because of my health conditions anyway. A lot of things are unpredictable for me, and I really struggle with that, and like the thought of like abandonment and stuff. So I feel like joking about it does help. I feel like that's why I do it, because I know that it's not going to get better as quick as I want it to. It's going to take a lot of time, so it's not as like depressing or whatever. I just joke. Yeah. I joke about absolutely anything I can, or anything I can think about to do with it, because it makes it a lot easier to deal with. I mean, I know quite a lot of my friends are probably a bit fed up with me. They're like, God, like, she's been through so much and she's still just sat here joking about literally everything that has possibly happened to her. I like to use YOLO and live, laugh, love quite a bit, just because it's just like, it lightens everything up. Like, as much as I know myself that there's not exactly light to what I go through, joking about it's just like, it's just that more, helps to cope a bit more, you know? Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people also can relate to how I feel, and that they won't use dark humour to cope, and that's fine. I just personally, for me, it helps more than other things, because I feel like I've always joked about anything anyway. I like to joke a lot. I find quite a lot funny. But like, not even just me, advice for anyone that is going through something similar, or not even similar but still having thoughts about anything, that is, it is gonna get better. No matter how long it's going to take, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. And, like, you may not see it, but it definitely is there. And the journey is never going to be as quick as you'd like it to be. It's never going to be an overnight fix or months. It could even take a couple of years, which sounds horrible to know that you have to go through that for ages. But I feel like it is going to be worth it, and like, you just have to stick with it to actually see the results. I mean, as of right now, I haven't, but I'm still holding the hope that I'm going to soon. And like, whether soon is a few months or even within the next year, because it's going to get better eventually, so I'm gonna hold on to that hope. But yeah.
And what do you wish people understood about how you feel? Like, is there anything that you wish people would get a little bit more about the feelings that you have? Like, yeah, is there anything that you would say about that? So to people, again, that are listening, that are going through the same thing, and you're trying to explain it to your friends and family how you feel, do you feel like people don't really get it, and you're trying to say, this is exactly what I'm going through, these are the feelings that I have? Do you have any advice to people that are the same age as you that feel that way? And has it been, you know, going to counselling or talking to people that has helped you feel a bit better?
I actually feel like not a lot of people do understand me, which is where I also really struggle, because it's not even just friends or family. Like, as much as the people involved with me now, as lovely as they are, I feel like it is really hard to explain to them how I feel, because like some people are like, well, you can't feel like that, like that's not possible, that's so extreme or whatever. But that is the point, like I feel so extremely about so much. I mean, for me, it's either 100% or 0%.
Yeah.
And that's with anything, that's with emotions, how I feel about people, my mood, and literally everything. I mean, a lot of people that I know do struggle to understand me, because it is, I don't fully understand myself. I don't have a very good self-identity, I'd say. And friendships and relationships have been a struggle in that sense, because of the fact that, like, they'd be like, oh, you're really clingy, or like, why do you just randomly hate me after you've just told me you love me or whatever. And it's hard to understand, like, for them people to understand, I can't help that.
Yeah.
And I genuinely would love to, I'd love to be able to control that, but I can't. And I do feel bad for the people that are on the receiving end, because I am quite horrible sometimes. And it's no excuse, but I can't exactly often control it. I mean, I can be quite rude. But it's difficult to tell people in a way that they'd understand, because if they don't go through it, it's very difficult to explain, because I have to explain how intense and like extreme my emotions are, and how like I really do fear people leaving me. And it has actually got to the point, like, I know I used to cling to my mom so she couldn't leave me sometimes. And I'd like message people constantly, be like, do you hate me? Like, have I done something wrong? Like, don't leave me, please, don't leave me. I'd call them about 30 times in a minute, just be like, answer me. People could leave me undelivered for like an hour, and I'd just panic that they're never gonna message me again. And I can joke and laugh about it now, but genuinely, when it comes to that moment, it is one of the most terrifying things ever, because I don't know any different. And it's hard to explain to people that, like, as clingy as it seems, I just need to know that you ain't going to leave, in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really speak for people in, like, advice for terms of that, because I struggle with it a lot myself. But for people watching that don't experience, or listening, that don't experience what I've, like, mentioned so far, if you know people that do struggle with that, I'd just say, like, message them and let them know you're not going to leave, or let them know that you love them, or ask if there's anything you can do to help them, or to know more of that they can explain, to just make it easier for them, because not a lot of people that I know understand how I feel. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing for them, like, because that's not their fault that they don't understand, because it's hard for me to understand myself, so I can't imagine how hard it is for the people to understand. But just knowing that, like, obviously we do try, so
And when you're having a bad day, is there anything that you do that's a bit of a distraction? Is there anything, you know, that you enjoy doing that you know might take your mind off how you're feeling for a little bit?
Music helps a lot. Cam's told you to do mindfulness, and it has helped in some sense, but if I'm in the moment of feeling really low, it doesn't necessarily help. I mean, for me, and I can never ever predict how long it's going to be, but I know that it's not going to last, because my episodes don't, like, I will go from being low to being high, or just not being low in that sense. So I know it's not going to last, which kind of helps, like, a tiny bit, but then in the moment I can't exactly, like, think rationally about that. I mean, I try and FaceTime friends so I'm not by myself, listen to music, probably watch Netflix, do some mindfulness sometimes if I'm not already at that point, but most of the time it does just pass. I mean, sometimes it just, you just have to cry it out, or because there's no shame in doing that. Obviously, but I mean, I would rather do something else, but I know it's going to pass at some point, so normally I just wait and try and do as much as I can in that moment. But I mean, it's quite hard to do stuff when you're feeling as low as I am. But then the highs afterwards are brilliant. So hold on to that.
Well, they were all the questions that I had for you on mental health stuff. Was there anything else that you wanted to say about mental health? Anything else that you feel like you want people to know about what you've been through? Obviously, no pressure if there isn't.
It's more just reach out if you do need the help. It's not something to be ashamed of at all. I know a lot of, everyone would much rather you go and ask for help than, something bad has happened or anything similar to that. It might take longer than what you think to get the help, but the help will always come, even if it's just speaking to family members and staying with them if you do feel really low, or even if you have a pet, going to talk to them. I know that might sound stupid to some people, but when I'm really low, I love spending time with my dog. He makes it so much better. So just speaking to anyone, even if you write things down and don't tell people, just getting your feelings out in any way is a lot better than not at all. And help will come eventually, no matter how long it's been. Things will get a lot better. We'll start looking up for you, basically. So hold on to
that. And on reflection now, after your attempts, is there anything, if you look back, that you think maybe could have stopped you from feeling the way that you did?
Personally, for me, I'd say no, but not because of the fact that I didn't want it to, because when I'm normally in those low moments, that is all I really think about anyway.
Yeah.
So normally when that does happen, I just, speaking wouldn't help for me. Obviously that's not the same for everybody. Speaking to someone might help you, but I feel like the attempts that I have made wouldn't have really not happened if I'd have spoken to anybody or reached out for help earlier. My family are really, really supportive anyway, which I'm really, really lucky for. They've been fantastic with literally everything. I know not everyone has families that are as supportive as mine, but I really couldn't fault them at all. They're always there, no matter when I need them. And for my mental health as well, they've always been there. And I know I can speak to them literally about anything that I want. I don't necessarily always speak to people because I find it awkward, but knowing that I can speak to anyone in my family. Even my friends are great as well. I can just speak to them whenever I need to. They're always there, they're always checking up on me. But knowing my family are always there whenever I need them, they've never really not been. All of my family are exceptional, for support. However, I do find my uncle, Mark, he's just so easy to speak to about it. Not saying that the rest of my family aren't at all, because they are, but I do genuinely just find my uncle, if I speak to my uncle about it, it's so much easier, because I get along with him so well. I've got a great relationship with him, which makes it so much easier, but he does just listen, and whether he actually understands fully what I'm saying and where I'm coming from, he always comes across as understanding literally everything that he possibly could understand, and literally always there when I need to speak to him. Yeah, it's lovely speaking to my uncle. I just find it easy to speak to him about how I feel, no matter how I feel, he's always there to give advice and stuff as well. And it's not just with attempts and other things, he is just generally he gives great advice anyway, so I feel that's why I find it easier, because he does look at both sides. Yeah, it's helpful having someone to be able to do that for me. I mean, my other family do as well, they're great, but yeah, just wanted to mention. Yeah, that's it really, I think.
Well, Daisy, thank you so much for sharing. She's just making faces at me on the screen, for sharing your story. I think you've spoke amazingly about everything, and they're really, really hard topics to speak about. So yeah, you've done amazing. I think you've offered some great advice, and please stop pulling faces at me on the screen. I'm trying to have a serious little outro here, but I think you've done amazing. And I think, you know, to anyone listening to this, just to take away like what people with disabilities and long-term health conditions have to go through, but also to anyone that suffers with mental health, to just listen to Daisy's advice, if I get your name right, and reach out for help. I know it's not easy, and I think it's even harder when you're younger to have those conversations, but it is so important. And obviously, I am very, very, very happy that you are still here, and I always want you to be here, because I just, you know how much I love you. So, but yeah, thank you for being a little star.
You're welcome.